Hi, I'm Ray Hager, standing in for Sam Shadd, and welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. Today's guest is Eddie Lorton, who is a candidate for Reno mayor. And on our pundit panel, we have Mike Draper, Andrew McKay, and Sam Kumar. That's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
From your house to the White House, the folks at D&D Roofing can get it fixed with their eyes closed.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This November, some questions are complicated, but the formula for clean energy is simple. It's question six. Right now, Nevada gets only 20% of our electricity from renewable sources like solar and wind. Question six. We'll raise that to 50% by 2030, creating more good jobs and cleaner air. Yes on 6 is simply the only way to guarantee more clean energy.
The company Wes Duncan keeps tells a frightening story. Sheriff Gerald Antenero accused of sexual assault. Craig Esty admitted to domestic violence after lying to legal authorities. Nevada Right to Life committed to overturning Roe v. Wade. High-priced lobbyists putting insurance companies before us. Abusers, influence peddlers, and extremists don't belong anywhere near our Attorney General's office. With friends like these, Wes Duncan can't represent people like us.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shadd, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shadd.
I welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers to get today. Our guest, of course, is Eddie Lorton. He's a candidate for mayor of Reno. Welcome to you, Eddie.
I thank you, Ray. Thanks for the opportunity for having me here today.
You bet. I thought that the debate that you and incumbent Mayor Hillary Sheevy had last week was very good on both your parts, and I wanted to ask you some questions off of that.
Certainly.
Okay. The number one thing I wanted to ask you is, in the debate, you kept referring to your 2022 plan.
Yes.
Briefly, could you give me the maybe three highlights of that plan?
Yes, I can get into the meat and potatoes of this plan quickly. What my 2022 plan consists of is I wrote this city a property disposal program with policies years ago, and I identified 150 more pieces in the city even knew they owned. So this is my plan from beginning to end. You take all city-owned surplus properties that aren't needed. And I'm not talking about the parks like she tried to say in the debate. They're not even on the table.
All right.
But there's other ones like the ballroom we're not utilizing. The Caronos are using those, not paying us hardly anything, and they have full access to a $65 million piece of property. So we also own the bowling stadium, the event center, the ballroom, and then 640 some others besides those. So we can analyze each piece. You sell them off, and what that will do is pay our debt off. And then we don't have the bond servicing debt or principal and interest payments anymore. Secondly, it'll create a new Blight Initiative cleanup program through development. So everybody needs housing right now, so we can do infill development, which already has police, fire, and sewers in place. That's the cheapest form of development. It goes up the quickest. And then what we'll do through that, besides the Blight Initiative cleanup program, it will also bring down housing costs naturally, which is much needed now too, because we'll put a glut on the market. So we can do infill developments instead of the urban sprawl like Stonegate they just approved. No infrastructure's in place, so therefore it's the most expensive form. It'll take forever to do that. This way it expedites the process, brings affordable housing. Then it frees up city employees that once worked on blighted pieces of property the city owns, so they can work on the parks, which is much needed. So I'll give you the biggest bang for your buck, because then they're not going to have to work on these pieces of work on the parks. And last but not least, it'll put all these pieces on the tax rolls. Do you know that city-owned properties aren't paying taxes? So therefore, it puts it on the tax rolls. And then this city council's resolution is to take away your tax cap, which will increase your property taxes 100 to 200%, which means $300 to $500 a month just on property taxes alone.
Wait a minute, Eddie. Doesn't that have to be done at the legislative level?
It does, and I was waiting for you to ask me that. Yes, and the city pays a legislator that works for the city and the city council.
You mean a lobbyist.
Yes, and he goes down at legislation time to push for whatever agenda that the city has, and they do want to take away your tax cap. So we'll have a lobbyist that goes down there to legislate for that. And they've already talked about it.
Okay. Moving on, one of the most, I think the most controversial thing that you talked about is how you would deal with the homelessness problem in Reno.
Yes.
And, you know, you want to take the homeless problem and give it to the Washoe County. Your quote was during the debate, quote, it's 1,000% the county's job. We're going to be smart and get out of the homeless business.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I have three questions for you. Number one, how do you get the county to take over the issue of the homelessness when the homeless reside in downtown Reno, most of them? And I would think the county commissioners would fight you tooth and nail if you tried to push off the homeless problem on them. Can you comment on that?
Well, let's specify. See me in action at the Supreme Court, we won. Made the ballpark pay their taxes, and I'm right on this. The county, I'm not saying push it off on other people that aren't responsible. What I'm saying is the county, 1,000%, they get all the federal grants for social issues. The county's responsible 1,000%. It shouldn't have gone downtown in the first place. So therefore, I'm just holding those accountable to place and pay for to do so. You saw how the county got out of the fire deal, right? Because they were smart. We're going to get out of the homeless business because we're going to be smart. So they get all the funding to place and pay for social issues, and we're getting the short end of the stick. We're $30 million into this, and I'm going to put Reno first, and so I'm going to hold them accountable to do so. And we can fight tooth and nail as much as they want to. We're going to strongly negotiate. Notice how all of a sudden they jumped in there on Galletti Way, and they're trying to work because they see me coming, Ray. And we'll litigate if needed to have them accountable for what they're supposed to be accountable for.
Okay, say like you move all the downtown homeless to the outskirts of town, which I think would be hard because it'd be like herding cats.
Okay,
once you get them out there, what's going to keep them to stay? Are you going to build a tent city? Are you going to fence in an area where they must stay? Or what are you going to do out there?
Ready for my solution? Well, the county's going to place and pay for it, and they're going to have to deal with the issue and do what they need to do. But I have a big heart, too. Do you know being in the downtown core gives these people a disservice? Put yourself in their shoes for a minute. Say you're in a tent, you get your check, and you're in the downtown core. You have all this outside stimulation going on. You have alcohol, drugs, food, lodging, gaming, and then they get their check, and they're trying to forget about that moment in time. Therefore, when they get their check, they're blowing every dime. It keeps them in the vicious cycle. So what I'm saying, not only are we not responsible, it's going to further help them to get out of the elements. So you put it on the edge of the county there somewhere next to a bus line so they can get to town and try to get jobs and do what they want to. But they're more likely to get involved in programs to get help to get back on their feet through them taking care of this issue.
Okay, well, the one program I think they really need is a mental health program.
Because absolutely.
Anyway, state issue. Excuse me, Eddie, I didn't mean to interrupt, but we got to take a break right here, and we'll be back.
We'll
be back with Reno Mayor candidate Eddie Lorton after these few messages.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
Here's award-winning Nevada teacher, Jeff Hinton.
One concern about question three is that it would increase electric bills paid by consumers. As a teacher, I'm also concerned about how three would impact school budgets. School buildings use a lot of electricity. Question three would force school districts to pay higher electric bills. That means we'd have less money for classroom education for our kids. Please join our coalition and vote no on three. Thank you.
I'm Kelsey Grammer. My dad was gunned down at his home at the age of 38. 6 years later, my sister Karen was brutally raped and murdered. She was 18. When my father's killer was released, I found out through the National Enquirer. It seemed like a cruel joke. In my sister's case, I have been allowed a voice in the parole hearings of her killers. But that's not always true in Nevada. Question one gives Nevada crime victims and their families a voice in the process and the equal rights they deserve. Please vote yes on question one.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Hi, welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. Our guest, of course, is Eddie Lorton, candidate for Reno Mayor. Welcome back, Eddie.
Yes, sir.
Eddie, you called current mayor Reno Mayor Hillary Sheevy the bulldozer queen.
Yes, sir.
And it was referenced to Sheevy's support of tearing down those old dilapidated motels, mainly on 4th Street and around the downtown corridor.
Yeah.
You also lamented the Reno's lack of low-cost housing because some of the people were
displaced.
Displaced, yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some saw these dilapidated motels as havens for drugs and crime.
They do.
But then again, when I worked for the Reno Gazette Journal, I did stories on these motels as part of a series I did on the homeless children in the Washoe County School District. And there are some very good people that live in these. They're just poor, you know, older people
trying
on fixed incomes. Okay, so Hillary Sheevy, she okays or supports the bulldozing of these properties, as you put it. Well, what would have you done if you were mayor? I mean, these, for gentrification, I guess, for getting Reno in a good spot downtown, you're going to need to get rid of these.
I would like to address that.
Okay.
So, and why I called her the bulldozer queen, because she was in the Reno Gazette Journal on top of the bulldozer in a hard hat. Okay, and the thing is this, where I'm a developer as well, I own numerous properties in three states, so I know what I'm doing when it comes to this. You don't just look at the short-term result, you look at the long-term too. It's like in a business plan, you look at the beginning, you look at the end game. They allowed the Jacobs Group to come in with no plan and start mowing these down. What if they let these places sit empty for 15 years? We don't even know what they're going to do. Which, of course, who represents the Jacobs Group is her lobbyist friend, Jessica Sferrazza, that we beat at the Supreme Court. So she's representing all of these developers in town. Okay, and so that's what he wanted to do. So then they say, well, I don't put everyone in a box. What about the good hotels that are causing and create an affordable housing? There are some bad ones, okay, and then you separate the bad actors through law enforcement is what you do. You don't put everyone in a box. So therefore, they should have looked at the long-term gain, and now they displaced all these people, and now, like I said, back to the homeless shelter for a second. This 10-year plan, and Hillary Sheevy's been on the council for over 6 years, our homeless issue has multiplied by four or five. They claim there's only 200 homeless people. Wrong. Another bad figure. Go downtown and go by the river. There's way more than 200 homeless people, but they've displaced people because they didn't make the Jacobs Group submit a plan, and I'm strong on property rights too, but they should have had a plan before they allowed them to start tearing down hotels so expediently they could start on their developments instead of letting it sit for years like they could do because they didn't submit a plan.
Okay, you said Hillary Sheevy said there's only 200 homeless in Reno?
That's a quote from Reno. That's a quote from the city of Reno. They claim there's only 200 homeless people.
Maybe they forgot a zero at the end.
That's my point, and that's why I'm running, because they do the weirdest math. How about a few years ago when Andrew Klinger was there, we're $500 million in debt, and they claim we have an $11 million surplus. I don't know what kind of math they do. Now, lately, they claim they took $200 million off the debt. All they did was restructure it through forbearance agreements. So a lot of times they throw out false information, and now as you see the media blitz lately that's happening, they have the cure-all to everything all of a sudden 3 weeks out from an election cycle, where I say, don't fall for it. And that's why I'm running. I hope to earn people's vote. I'll be a good mayor. I'm a businessman. I had to go to council meetings 32 years to protect my investments from the things they do. Now I can help 250,000 people. You can't do that often in your life.
Okay, Eddie, in the primary, Hillary Sheevy got 63% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
And you got 18%.
19%,
excuse me.
Yes. Uh-huh.
If you were in Sparks, you wouldn't be here right now, because in Sparks, if you get 50%, more than 50% of the
vote, 50% plus one
mm-hmm. votes in the primary, you are automatically elected. And it served Councilwoman Charlene Bybee and the new mayor, Ron Smith.
Yes, it did.
And in the debate, you mentioned that you did not like that way, like that system. If you could explain to our viewers and listeners,
would love to. I'm an analyst. I look at things for what they are. You see Hillary Sheevy trying to bypass my term limit court case. Well, these people decide on their own thing. Okay, now when it comes to the charter, these are the people that benefit from it. So I say if a career politician doesn't like the rules, they change it for them and their friends' benefit. So if you look at the record overall, like last time I ran in the primary and this time, the first time was the lowest voter turnout of all time. I'm not using the union word as a bad word, because I have some union people voting for me, but they're really organized. The only people that usually vote in the primary are unions and special interest groups. So they took the power of the people away by changing the charter to that way. So therefore, like, it was the second lowest voter turnout of all time in the primary for me. Hillary Sheevy spent $90,000 in the primary. I only spent $18,000 because I knew I'd make it through. I could have wasted a lot of money, but I'm spending it now because I knew I'd make it through. So this way they take the power from the people, don't let the unions decide your mayor, and we're going to see what happens on election day, and you can judge the primary to the general, and that's when everybody comes out. So what I'm saying is the unions that go before the council always have stuff to gain from the incumbents. Okay, they're getting rid of your tax cap. They vote on their pay and benefit package. They give them $10,000 each from police and fire. And then they walk for them 50 deep to try to get them elected for what they can get. So here, we get you elected, and they give them things. So I hope the people are up to speed on that.
Okay,
right?
Eddie, thanks mm-hmm. for coming in today. That was a spirited discussion. We'll be right back after these few messages with our pundit panel.
I'm Jonathan Scott from Property Brothers. I've demoed a lot of homes, and today I'm knocking down NV Energy's No on Three campaign lies. The Gwynn Center report says it's not deregulation. California doesn't actually have energy choice. Studies show competition drives rates down. NV Energy's entire No on Three campaign is a pile of rubble. Ask yourself, why would NV Energy spend $63 million to prevent competition? Nobody's paying me to say this. I'm Nevadan, and question three is about our right to choose cheaper, cleaner energy.
Nevada knows Dean Heller lies about protecting our health care. Here's the newest one.
I have not supported, will not support legislation that does weaken Medicare.
8 months later, Dean Heller voted to cut Medicare by nearly $500 billion. And now Dean Heller's party bosses admitted there's a plan to cut Medicare even further. Dean Heller's caved to them before, and he'll cave this time too. Because Dean Heller still puts his political party over your health care. SMP's responsible for the content of this ad.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. We are here with our power pundit panel. Sam Kumar, past chair of the Washoe County Republicans. Mike Draper, partner with Argentum Partners. And Annie McKay. He is the executive director of the Nevada Franchise Auto Dealers. Gents, welcome back. So we're filming the show on Monday where we have 2 days of voting numbers. You know, we can talk a little bit about enthusiasm. I know some of the press have said that we are near general election numbers here in Nevada that should bode well for Democrats. They're saying it's a blue wave. Sam, what are you seeing?
We are not anywhere close to presidential election levels, because when you look at the numbers for the first 2 days, so far we have about 68,000 people who have cast their ballots. When you compare that with 2016, we had almost 86,000 cast their ballots after the first 2 days. And when you go back to 2012, we had 81,000 who had cast their ballots. So it is high for an off-year election, but it's nowhere near the presidential election levels. But when you look at the split between the Republicans and the Democrats, that is relatively close to what you will see in the presidential election levels. But the other point to think about is traditionalists, which is a lot of people in the rurals, they typically vote on election day. So I've never cast my ballot in absentee ballot or in early voting. I always vote on election day. You have a lot of people like that in the rurals. In the end, you will see a surge on election day.
Mike?
I think that, as Sam mentioned, you can draw some inferences from the first couple of days where we have data from, but I think overall what's most interesting about this time that we're in is everybody keeps talking since 2016 and before 2016 that we're in almost a new political paradigm, that people, you know, media is louder and more prevalent than before talking about political issues. And obviously all of our social media and those types of things, how does that translate in voters? And to this point, we still haven't seen it translate in a different way than it was before 2015 or 2014. And so will that change this time? Are we going to see a huge number of Democrats show up, which they normally don't do in a non-presidential year? Are Republicans going to continue to follow the same traditions that they have, where rurals are voting on election day? So those kinds of things are what's interesting. Right now, it looks like we might see some different things, but it's not dramatically different to this point.
Andy?
I think what they said is accurate. The one thing that concerns me is a Republican, and Paul, I know we exchanged some information last night, is that when you look in terms of just the raw numbers, Democrats outperformed. Simply, what I mean by that term is more Democrats voted in Washoe County over the 2 days than Republicans. And when I don't think you can't look at the presidential year in 16 or 12 to this year. I don't think that's an appropriate analysis. You have to look at the.
You can't even look at 2014. I mean, yeah. That year.
Well,
was
but I would argue that that's probably a more accurate primer because of the fact that number one, Republicans tend to perform better in an off election year than they do in on election year. Now, of course, that was a difference in that Barack Obama held the presidency. But when you look at these numbers, if this trend continues, the R's are in trouble. But what does 2 days of voting make? Who knows? You know, you raised a great point the other day, Paul. Well, who's turning out? Are they inveterates or are they new? And if it's inveterate voters, maybe there isn't a blue wave. It could just be a little bit of a ripple. So I think it's too soon to tell, but I am, call me the negative Nelly on this. If these trends continue, this is going to be a bloodbath.
But that's not the only trend. The absentee ballot numbers were higher for Republicans this year than they were in 2014.
By just a hair.
But 2014 was a red wave year.
Right.
So if you take that.
But when you look at the analysis on the absentees in 14 as compared to now, they're substantially less and the gap is much closer.
Yeah. I'm not concerned at this point. If the trends hold, it's going to be a very close election. I think we have believed in that all along. I wouldn't wave the white flag. And definitely when you look at the national trends, you're seeing Democrats pulling ads out of districts where they were fighting and putting it in districts where they were comfortable. Donna Shalala against Salazar is a good example in Florida where that was done. No one was even thinking about it. Now that has become a battleground. So you see it shifting. It's going to be very close at the national level. In Nevada, if the trends continue, I'm still not concerned. It just means we're going to have a very close election, and Dean has made a living out of winning close elections.
True.
Who do you think is going to get more votes, Adam Laxalt, Dean Heller?
If the current trends hold, I think they're both going to be very close. Dean has problems with the conservatives, and Adam probably has issues with the moderates. So I would still go with Adam.
Mike?
I think it's going to be, like all the races, that breakdown is going to be just as close as any of those races are going to be within, you know, points, if not a point.
I mean, I'm
other,
trying to figure out who your split ticket voters are. If you have, you know,
really
if you
is.
Have, I think, I mean, honestly, I think your Sisolak Rosen voters, or sorry, your Heller Sisolak voters, you know, are probably in the lobbying corps. I mean, to be honest with you,
it's true.
Yeah, it probably is accurate. I mean, I think that you're going to see some of that, and it's how close it is, but I think Dean gets a few more votes than Adam does at the end of the day.
Andy, really quick.
I'd say Laxalt.
All right, we have to end it there. All right, gents, thank you very much. We're going to be back on Nevada Newsmakers.
The company West Duncan keeps tells a frightening story. Sheriff Gerald Antenero accused of sexual assault. Craig Estee admitted to domestic violence after lying to legal authorities. Nevada Right to Life committed to overturning Roe v. Wade. High-priced lobbyists putting insurance companies before us. Abusers, influence peddlers, and extremists don't belong anywhere near our Attorney General's office. With friends like these, Wes Duncan can't represent people like us.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Thanks for watching. Tomorrow's guest is Chuck Muth, who ran the assembly campaign for the recently deceased Nevada brothel king, Dennis Hoff. That's coming up tomorrow on Nevada News.